Okay, learning Shemayin Tzchus, Yitzchak ben Vittoria, Yehudis bas Chaya Farrell, Pinchas bas Esther Malka, Pesach Shechal Yisrael. Good Chodesh! Good Chodesh. A good night of Shabbos. We have a very, very, very special Parsha. At least for me, at least, it's my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. It's also the Shabbos that I had in my Ofrov, my father's Bar Mitzvah Parsha. I always feel very connected to Parsha's Korach. Very, very, very big questions. Usually the past few weeks we've had three questions, but tonight we're going to have actually five questions. The Midrash tells us the following. Korach was very upset. Why? He said, Moshe got Malchus, and Aaron got Kahuna, but at the end of the day, the second son, my father, is the next after Amram. But what did Moshe do? He gave it to Nesias. Who did he give it to? He gave it to Eli Tzafon. So says the Medrash, he was very upset that Eli Tzafon got this Nesias. Korach said, I should get it. At the end of the day, the question is, Korach is right. Korach is a very holy person. He wasn't just some stam little Jew. Brought down the Chazal, he was a big chacham. Why wasn't Korach right? Eli Tzafon ben Aziel, he Uz ben Uziel. Maybe he didn't deserve it. Korach was next in line. Ubnei Kahas, and then Yitzhar. Yitzhar's right after Kahas. End of the day, question one is, what was so wrong in what Korach did? He was next in line. Question two. Another Medrash tells us that Korach and all his Edahs, 250 followers, were rolling around in the earth. The Medrash tells us this. Until Chana came and davened for them. Until Chana came and davened for them, and they were able to pass through the earth. So the question is, why only up until Chana come? What is the sheikhs of Chana, and why only her tefillah helped Korach? Question number three. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Kol machlokas yilashem shemayim sof eliskayim. Any machlokas that is for the sake of heaven will always last. And any machlokas, kol machlokas yilashem eliskayim shemayim eino eliskayim, will not last. Anything that's not for the sake of heaven won't last. So the Mishnah says, what's a machlokas? What's a good example that something that was l'shem shemayim and less? Hillel v'shamayim. Every single time Hillel and Shammai got into a Torah argument, that's l'shem shemayim. What's an example, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perikei, Mishnah Chaf. What's an example of an argument that wasn't l'shem shemayim? Korach v'chodaso. Korach and his followers. Ask Rav Sham Shon Fal Hirsch. Ask the Heligo Rabbi Elimelech, the Nomali Melech. You give me two sides by the Shem Shemayim case, Hillel and Shammai, right? But over here, you didn't tell me Korach and his Edah versus Moshe. No, it just says Korach v'chol adoso, Korach and his followers. Why only give me one side of the machlokas? Give me two sides, says Rav Hirsch. Give me both sides, says Nolai Mach. The fourth question, the Zohar tells us that Korach wasn't only cholik, he didn't just argue on Moshe Rabbeinu. The Zohar says that it was actually cholik on Shabbos Kodesh. He argued on Shabbos. What's the deeper meaning of the Zohar statement that Korach argued on Shabbos? And finally, question number five. I think question number five is a profound question. Question number five can be found in the Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi asks a very simple question. Eli Tzafon, who we said before was appointed to be Nasi long ago, why is Korach now only starting an argument? Meaning, when you tell your kid that tomorrow you're gonna get punished, right? You don't start up saying tomorrow you're gonna start saying no, I don't want to get punished. You start saying maybe it's not the best emotional mindset, but why didn't Korach get upset when Eli Tzafon was appointed? Why only now? Why did it? Because right now they're right after the Meraglim, so you think that he would get upset at the time that Eli Tzafon was appointed? So five questions. The first question: what was so wrong with Korach? Did he had every right? He was the next in line. Moshe and Aaron took their positions. He was the next in line. Why should Eli Tzafon get appointed? Second question: why only until why were they rolling around? The Medrash tells us, right when they lost in the game to Moshe Rabbeinu, when they lost in the battle with the Ketores. Why only until Chana came and died for them? What does Chana have to do with Korach? Question three is: why does it only tell us that one side of the machlokas between Korach and his Eda versus Korach and his Eda? It doesn't say versus Moshe and Aaron. Question number four: what does it mean that Korach was cholik on Shabbos? What does it mean he argued against Shabbos? Question five: why did Korach only start up an argument now, right after Meraglim? Usually, when something doesn't go your way, or you're upset about someone being appointed, you get upset at that time. So let's go in order. The first question, and it's really the whole yisod of all the questions, is the following. Rav Shechter writes in Rabbi Simon, quotes the name Rabbi Baruch. He says that Korach actually had a good taina. Korach had 100% good taina. However, his taina led him to do something that wasn't good. His kina, his jealousy, was a sign that he had chesun emuna. Says Rav Shechter, when a person realizes that everything in his life comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it doesn't matter what happens in his life. Either when something goes your way or doesn't go your way, what happens? You still go in line with everything. You understand, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. But Korach took himself out of this. And this is what Rav Shechter quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos in Perek Dal, Mishnah Chaf Aleph. Rabbi Elazar Kapper, Omer, Rabbi Elazar Kapper says, three things that take a person out of this world. Hakinah, v'ataiva, v'hakavod. Desire, jealousy, desire, and honor take a person out of this world. What does that mean, take a person out of this world? It makes you not act with emunah. When a person's jealous, a person realizes that he's not realizing that everything he has comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything he has comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the whole yisod of everything. But before we go on to answer the next few questions, Rabbi Friend writes in one of his books that I just got on Lakewood, an unbelievable shot from the Midrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos. Mishnah tells us that a person should be sneach b'chalko, should be happy with what you have. Midrash Shmuel tells us on Pirkei Avos the following mashal. He said, the Satan once came in front of two people. One person was the most envious person. He was very, very jealous. And another person was insatiable. He was a pleasure seeker. He was always looking for the best meat, the best car, the best TV show, the best this, the best that. The Satan comes to both of them and tells them the following thing. He said, I'm going to grant you guys whatever you want. Tell me whatever you guys want, and I'm going to give it to you. However, just know that whatever you get, I'm going to give to you, but your friend gets double of them. You choose. You choose. The Satan leaves them, and the envious person says to the insatiable person, I want you to choose. And they're going back and forth. The pleasure seeker says, no, I'm a Mr. Jealous person, I want you to choose. And they're going back and forth. Finally, the envious person said, he said to himself, you know what I'm going to do? If I choose a 25-room house, if I choose 5 million, then he's going to get a 50-room house. And he's going to get 10 million, right? So what did he say? He said, he called up the Satan, says the Midrash Shmuel, and he says, Satan, I want you to take out one of my eyes. Says the Midrash Shmuel. When it comes to, right, when he says one of my eyes, meaning he'd rather his friend suffer and get both his eyes plucked out. We become warped, says Rabbi Friend, when it comes to jealousy. We start acting like different people. We say things, we do things we don't mean to say. That's the answer to question one. Korach had every right, but at the end of the day, when it leads to lack of emunah, that's not being part of it. And we're in no way to judge Korach, but on his level, that was something that was very not good. Question two: we said that why only till Chana came was Korach rolling around? Because I think the pshat is that we know the Gemara and Brachas in the fourth parak. In the fifth parak, excuse me, who do we learn out all halachas tefillah from? We learn out from Chana. Chana understood there's a seder to the world. There's a muna to my life. I have to see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Chana came. Chana is the person who sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu fully. Who we darshan out the halachas from tefillah. What does that mean we darshan out the halachas from tefillah? That she sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu clearly. Korach can't. Korach doesn't see it. That's why Korach's running around. He's rolling around until who comes? Chana says, hey Korach, at the end of the day, Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the Welt, and she davens for him. It could be also, maybe there are those who do answer, that Korach only sinned because of Shmuel. The Chazal tells us that Korach saw that Shmuel would come from him, and he said to himself, hey, if I'm going to have such a holy son, grandson, great-grandson, Shmuel, it must be that I'm right. So maybe Chana felt a little guilty. There are those who answer like that. But I think it's a much deeper picture. I think that Chana realized, Chana was the pinnacle person who realized, who we learn out tefillah from, who looks at Emunah, who realizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs her life. And she was the biggest tikkun for Korach. So that's the second answer. The third answer is that why is it then saying in the Pirkei Avos, why does it only tell us one side by Korach and his Eda? So there's two answers to this that I've seen over the years. Rav Hirsch, who the Rosh Yeshiva Miami Beach, Rabbi Zwei, quoted in my Urfruf, Baruch Hashem Allah, around 4 years ago, said the following idea. He said, when a person's not l'shem shemayim, when a person's not acting and arguing for the right reasons, you can't see the other side. You don't see the other side when you're in an argument and you're solely in it for yourself or for your own desires, your own purpose, your own money. You can't see the other side. Says Rav Hirsch, you want to know why it doesn't say Moshe and Aaron versus Korach? Because Korach and his Eder were fully so not l'shem shemayim, they couldn't even see the other side. Noam HaMelech says a very similar answer. But he says something a little more deeper. He says that when you're in a fight together, you know, when you're in, let's say for example you're with Donald Trump and you're on Donald Trump's team and you're picking up steam as the election comes, right? Your hearts are together. You feel like you're a one team. Says the Noam HaMelech, Korach and his Edel looked like they were one team, but they were all really out for themselves. Korach was out for himself. He might say, Kulam, Kedoshim, we're all holy, we're all good. But at the end of the day, they were all separated. They were all looking at it for themselves. Says Naomi Mach, you want to know why it only says one side? Because to Shtafka show you that they weren't even together. That Korach and his Edel weren't even together. Usually when someone goes for Machlokas, they're together. They even weren't, it looked like they were together, but they were really separated. A beautiful answer on Noam Melech and Refersh. Refersh, beautiful answer. And beautiful answer by Noam Melech. Finally, the fourth question of why does it say that Korach was Chalak on Shabbos? This is the whole soul just coming together. What does Shabbos represent? And I think the Shem Yishmol explains like this and others explain like this too. I think it's the Shem Yishmol, I'm not sure. That Shabbos represents it's a Seder to my life. There's a Seder to the week, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos represents I close up my shop, I turn off my cell phone, I turn off the world, and I reconnect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I reconnect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is the day of Emunah. Shabbos is the day of Bracha. Rabbi Simon loves quoting the Zohar. He loves saying that the Zohar says in Parshas Yisro, the more of Shabbos that we keep, the more Bracha we get. So you know, Rabbi Simon says, I don't understand people who run out of Shabbos. You're taking out Bracha every week. If you know you're taking an MCAT that week, if you know you're having a surgery, Lo Aleinu, or you have a Sherech date, or you have something big happening that week, keep a little Rabbeinu Tam. Keep a little bit extra. Is there such a difference between ending Shabbos at 9:15 or 9:45? Okay. Tell a half hour. You want to get bracha for the week. Shabbos is the day of Emunah. Shabbos is the day of seeing the Kodesh Baruch Hu clearly. So all these answers are in one yisod. One yisod of seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam and feeling His presence in our lives. And finally, why is it that Korach only argued on Elit Safon at the position now? Why didn't he argue when he got appointed? So the Kedusha Levi has an incredible idea. Kedusha Levi says that Korach was fine with it when he was appointed. When was he appointed? He was appointed before the Meraglim happened. He was appointed right before they were about to go out to Israel. And he said, hey, you know what? Elisaphon's only going to be only the Nasi for a little bit. He's only going to be the Nasi for a little bit. You know what? It's going to be okay. But you want to know what happened? The Chidna Meraglim happened. And he says, I'm going to have to look over my shoulder. I'm going to have to look at my friend and my nephew to be Elit Safon for 40 years, that he's going to be the position I can't have that. Says the Kedusha Levi, you want to know why Korach had a big fuss? Not when he was appointed, but now? Because it was after the Chayna Meraglim. It was after, you know, my friend, to have someone, you know, to have a little enjoyment, and, you know, take my place for a week or two, fine. But I'm going to have to live at them for 40 years at the Hanukkah parties, at the Seder, I'm going to have to hear all that what it means to be a Nasi, I can't have that, says Korach. Says the Kedusha Levi, why did he make a big deal now? Because that's right after the Meraglim. And he couldn't bear the idea that someone in his family were going to have an enjoyment for 40 years. Another lack of Emunah, another lack of faith, of not seeing their Ribbono Shel Olam, of seeing a Kodesh Baruch Hu clearly. Now I want to end off with two Maises. Rabbi Fran writes in that same book that I just got, a beautiful Maisa of Rav Chaim of Brisk and Rav Simcha Zelig. Sim Chazela was the Rosh Beis Din in Rav Chaim Rebris, his community. What happened once, a butcher came with a shiloh. He had a certain animal, whether it was kosher or not. And he came to Rav Sim Chazela to get the psak. You know, and my friend explains, you know, when it comes down to paslo and animals, very expensive. What happened was, Sim Chazela looked at the butcher, and he said, I'm so sorry. There's no way that I could, there's just too much here that looks off. I can't kosher. And the butcher said, no problem, Rabbi. Thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate you taking the time to help me and go out of your way. A couple of months go by. And what happened was, this butcher now comes with someone else to Rav Simcha Zelig. And they have an argument over 75 rubles. They weren't sure whose it is. And they asked Rav Simcha Zelig to make the psak. Rav Simcha, please, try to make the psak for us. Can you help us? So Rav Simcha Zelig hears both sides. And he passes against the butcher. However, the butcher has a different, very different reaction than he would did by the animal. The butcher goes nuts at him. How could you? Do you know what this is? It's 1,500. It's 75 rubles. You. I don't understand. He started going nuts at him and he stormed out. So Rav Simcha Zelig now runs over to Rav Chaim, and he says, Rav Chaim, I don't understand. A couple of months ago, when I passed the non-kosher animal, he lost 1,500 rubles. But tonight, when I passed in against him with his friend, and he only lost 75 rubles, He made a big deal. By the 1,500, he didn't start lambasting me and calling me names and this and that. By the 75 rubles, he went nuts. So Rav Chaim went over to him, says that, you know, Rav Simcha Zelig has nothing to do with the money. It's about winning and losing. Today he lost and someone else won. For him that was unacceptable. He couldn't handle that someone else won and he lost. Like Korach. Korach couldn't handle that the seal, the Elit Safon, would be the position that he would have. For a day or two, maybe for a day or two. But Elit Safon to be able to have for 40 years, I can't have that. We have to live our lives with seeing that everything in our life comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. The more we stop looking over our shoulder, or looking over at that bar mitzvah, or looking over at that, or who am I seated with at this wedding? I know so many people who, when it comes to weddings, who do they place me with? How much do they give my child? So I have to make sure how to give them that back, that money, right? We have to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. If we think that people do things to us, you know, then we don't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu behind everything. Everything in our happens in our lives. This is Yisod brought down by the Baal Shem Tov. Everything, every little thing comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Every little thing. Some people might have free choice, 100%. But behind the free choice, everything comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Says Rav Simcha Zelig. Rav Chaim says to Rav Simcha Zelig, it had nothing to do with the money. This person didn't have faith in the Ribono Shel Olam. When a person's jealous, and it shows you a person, it's a lack of amunah. This Shabbos Kodesh, we have the unbelievable privilege of celebrating the Lubavitch Rebbe's Yahrzeit. Lubavitch Rebbe, Gimel Tam, is a very, very special day in Klal Yisrael. So what happened was, we said the story again, but I think it's very, very apropos. A bar mitzvah boy was coming into the Lubavitch Rebbe to get a bracha. The Rebbe gave him a big bracha, and he's on his way out. And the Rebbe called him back in, and he said, we'll call him Yankel. Yankel, I have a question for you. He said, sure, Rebbe, no problem. And the Rebbe turned into the bar mitzvah boy's eyes, and he asked him, Yankel, you like baseball? So he said, yeah, Rebbe, sure, I do. So the Rebbe said, a very peculiar question from the Rebbe. The Lubavitch Rebbe looked back at him and said, which team do you like? He said, I like the Dodgers. So the Rebbe said, really? He's like, yeah, Rebbe, actually, we just went to a game last week. We left early. In the sixth inning, they're losing 14-1. So the Rebbe turned back to the Yankel, this bar mitzvah boy, and he said, oh, you left? Did the players also get to leave? So the boy said, the Yankel said, the bar mitzvah boy said back to the Rebbe, no, Rebbe, the fans get to leave. The fans can choose whenever they want to go. But when you're a player, you have to stay in the game no matter whether you're winning or whether you're losing, whether you see something or whether things are going your way or not. Says the Rebbe to the bar mitzvah boy, I want to teach you a lesson for life. Even when things are clear, even when things aren't clear, choose the Ribono Shel Olam. Don't choose to be a fan. Only when things are going well, you stay in the game. Choose the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe was essentially saying, don't be like Korach, only choose the Kadosh Baruch Hu when things make sense, or when things go your way. Choose the Kadosh Baruch Hu even when things don't go your way. When something goes wrong in your office or something goes wrong in your family, you still choose the Ribono Shel Olam. Even though it might be hard, we see Kadosh Baruch Hu behind it. And this is the whole Yisod behind the whole Parsha, behind all these five questions, is seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just to close, today was Yosef HaTzadik's Yahrzeit. Yosef HaTzadik on Aleph Tammuz. Yosef HaTzadik was the power of seeing. He's the power of Kedusha. He's the Kedusha of Yisod. The power of seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu. We know, brought down by the Arizal and the Zohar, that every month he's connected to another sense, to another body part. What is the body part? What is the sense for Tammuz? Tammuz, according to the Arizal, is the left eye. It's the koch of seeing. We should be zochah b'ez Hashem to see Kadosh Baruch Hu fully in our lives. And even when we can't see Him, we still daven that we should see Him. And even when things don't go look, they're not our way, we still fight through and to be able to see Him just as much as the Bava Trebbe was telling to that bar mitzvah boy. Even when things don't go your way, we still daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we should be able to see Him. We should be zochah b'ez Hashem to live with this message. B'ez Hashem to see Kadosh Baruch Hu fully, even when times are hard, even when things are challenging, even when things look difficult. We see Kadosh Baruch Hu behind everything. We should be zochah b'ez Hashem to hear good things in Eretz Yisrael, and be zochah to the Gula Karov of b'ez Hashem. Good Chodesh. Have a beautiful Shabbos Chodesh.